Yeah, 21, but today's verse will be verse 23. Let me remind you where we've come from. The Apostle Paul, in writing to these Colossian Christians and trying to strengthen them, had spent six tremendous, glorious verses on the preeminence of Jesus Christ, verses 15 through 21. And out of that, speaking of the preeminence, the glory, the eternality, all those attributes of Jesus Christ, he then speaks of it's Christ who's reconciled us to God. So now he begins to move from all that Christ did, is, and has done to us at the individual personal level. But stay with him today, Paul. I'm going to read from verse 21 through the middle of verse 23, and then our focus will be verse 23. And you, verse 21, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard. I'll stop there. Let me read another verse to you from another letter of Paul's that has a similar thrust to verse 23. Taking it from 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, if he was standing here, he could say this to us. He is saying it to us. Christ is saying this. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'd like to speak on the topic today of staying grounded and settled. And when it comes to portraying the true watch care over God's people, pastoral care over God's people, the Apostle Paul is an absolutely incredible example. You see this, don't you, in the New Testament? You see it in things in this letter and other letters. He taught them. He encouraged them, or admonished, strengthened them. He blessed them with words of encouragement. He prayed for them, didn't he? Paul records how he would pray for the different churches, particularly here the Colossians. He loved them. He loved them with all that he had. And he warned them. Sometimes we look over that. The Apostle Paul warned. He spoke caution. He spoke words of tremendous importance to these different Christians. Now, I would call that a faithful shepherd. Just note, Paul wasn't about humoring people. Paul was not about entertaining people. And Paul was not about advancing people's wealth. That goes without saying, right? The Apostle Paul gave his life for Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's people. I appreciate at Texas Tech, on one of their big administration buildings, etched in cast stone are different names through history, and one of them says Paul. At least they're true to history, that he was a man who gave his life for Jesus Christ and his church. It was life and death to the Apostle Paul. Entertainment? Trying to get people more money? Trying to entertain them with humor and stuff like that? No. It was life and death to the Apostle Paul, and so he wrote these epistles to God's people, admonishing them to do the same. This is serious. This is life and death. 1 Corinthians 15:58, which I just quoted, be ye steadfast, unmovable. You feel the earnestness of that, the weight of that? 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again. You hear this, beloved? You hear this? Warnings, admonitions, be careful. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Warnings, be careful. Listen to what I say. And then here in Colossians 1:23, continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Beloved, some of you have been in here for years. Some of you may be here for your first week if you're a Christian. A Christian knows that the Christian life is always about moving forward, remaining steadfast and staying grounded as you go. That is the Christian life. You can never take this lightly. You young people that you hear me, you're today, I want you to hear this. The Christian life is the greatest life. It is the only life that there is. But it is straight, and you got to keep going. Steadfast, anchored, not playing games. It's not a game. It's glorious. Yes, there's joy, there's laughter, there's peace, and there's rest, but it is serious business. Part of the danger in today's seeker-friendly Christianity, it's hard to even call it Christianity, such a joke at times, part of the danger of it today is that preachers portray the Christian life as though it's cool and trendy, like it's a nice stroll in the soft grass. You want to stroll in the soft grass? Come out to our acreage, and I'll take you out in the pasture right now. It's beautiful. It's green. You can stroll a little bit. But that's not the Christian life. And I wouldn't do justice, nor any of these other shepherds to do justice, to sit up here and carry on that way. It's serious business. It's a battle. You've got to be grounded and settled. You don't just stroll into Christianity. Jesus Christ saves you forever, and you go with Him. And days, some days can be hard. Some years can be hard. So it's not seeker-friendly. It's not cool and trendy. I'm certainly glad John Bunyan didn't preach that way in the 1600s. I'm certainly glad that Jonathan Edwards didn't preach that way in the 1700s. I'm grateful to God that Charles Spurgeon didn't preach that way in the 1800s. And certainly Martin Lloyd-Jones didn't preach that way in the 1900s. And by the grace of God, men like John MacArthur don't preach that way today. The Christian life is real. No wonder the world goes, Christianity? I mean, most Americans think it's just some sort of a club. It's not. It's not. To be reconciled to God is to be made right with God forever. But then we have our part in it. So today, let's hear what the Apostle Paul shares from his heart to these Colossian Christians. He is giving them an admonition to continue, but he's also giving them a warning if they don't continue. So again, the theme is to stay grounded and settled. Those of you in the ESV, it says stable and steadfast. Now let's remember, when I just was reading in verses 21 and 22, that Paul has just made a phenomenal statement to these Colossian Christians about Jesus Christ is going to present them to the Father, holy, right, blameless, and without reproach. Every Christian, whether they live 2 days or 100 years, every Christian is being presented by Jesus Christ. Yes, through justification, because now they've been made righteous, and yes, through sanctification, all the way to glory. He's going to present them. They're His people. They're His bride. He's purchased them. And that's what Paul has just said in verse 22. And yet, see this, in the flow of the grammar, the way the sentences go here, 22 goes right into 23. It's one continuous thought. And yet, tied to the grand truth of you being presented holy, without blame, without reproach, is the human responsibility to persevere. That's why it's not a stroll in the park. I liked what F.F. Bruce said. Continuing is the test of reality. Continuing. Right? If you're a true runner in races, you run the whole race. You run all the way through. So today, this thing of being grounded and settled is a fundamental truth, an absolutely pillar truth of living the Christian life and pressing on in Him. So let's briefly touch on the overarching theme of what Paul is saying. Go back to verse 23. He's presenting a Christian. He's presenting them, the Colossians. And then he says, if you continue in the faith. The ESV reads, if indeed you continue in the faith. And how it says it puts the indeed in there. This is an important thing to say. I'll mention this briefly. You can go back and do more study on it yourself. When you see this statement, this is not Paul going, I don't know if you're going to make it or not. This is not a doubt. Well, I think half the Colossians are just going to fall off. It's not exactly what he's saying. If you go back and you actually look at it in the original language, the composition, you can do some, like I said, some further study. The Greek is not expressing this huge doubt. Well, I don't know if you continue. What he's saying is, you will continue, but you will continue forward. It will be real. It will be life. It will be shown out. It will be borne out. Sometimes somebody says they've been made a Christian. Sometimes you hear of movie stars or athletes. And you know the best comment is, just say this, let God bear it out. I don't have to be the one who judges the first week I hear something if they're a Christian or not. Let God bear it out. Let them continue. So the Greek language here, what Paul was saying to the Colossians is, you're going to be presented, and a part of you being presented is, you're continuing. You're going forward. He's not planting these huge doubts. He's stirring them to continue on in the very truth of what they're in, which is Christ. A new life, a new kingdom, a new people, new truths, new purposes in living. A miracle. When I talk to cab drivers and people, at times I ask them what a Christian is and I let them talk for just a little bit and then I look at them and they're looking in the rearview mirror and I say, a Christian is a new creation. Christ makes them anew. It's a miracle. I've had more than one cab driver look in that mirror at me like, did he just say what I think he said? Yes, that's exactly what I said. No wonder Nicodemus marveled when Jesus talked about the wind blowing, lest the man be born again. But if you're born again, you continue. You grow. That's what Paul's getting at here. The mark of a true disciple is they continue in the faith. That's the overarching truth. Remember, the whole context of the letter of Colossians is they've got dangerous things happening around them. False teachers, false ideas, foolishness that they're being taught to do, going back to other previous law, or if you want to say it, Old Testament things, a whole range of things, observing certain trends or certain activities. That's not the Christian life. Rules and regulations, dead works. Christian life is full of the Holy Spirit, full of joy and peace, fruit coming from your life because Christ is in you. But Paul, in the context of this letter, is saying to the Colossians to remain steadfast in the face of danger of being drawn away. Do you think we have the luxury to skip over this as though we wouldn't be drawn away? Hardly. You've got to be in something to actually be able to be drawn away. Most people who say they're a Christian in America are not in something. No wonder they go after everything. They believe some of the silly things that are taught or put out there. Look at the book titles in most stores today. If you ever go through an airport, look at the book titles on those stands. They have pseudo-Christian book titles. But it's not the pursuit of God. You don't understand what I'm saying? So there's this context of what Paul is speaking about is be careful. Colossians, you're being drawn away. You're being tempted into other things. Paul is genuinely, absolutely concerned about the false teachers that might draw the Colossians away. And so we'll see this as we go on, God willing, as we go through the rest of this letter. I'm going to hit sections and we're going to see the dangers. They may not be exactly what we face today, but we face our own dangers. You might be with family members this week and they have things that they want to say to you that could draw you away. There could be things going on in your vocation, in your work. You could become dull, dry. I'm not even sure if I need to be going to church anymore. The drift is real, beloved. The drift is real. By the grace of God and by the grace of men in our lives and in Christians' lives through the ages, we keep going. That's Paul's thrust. You're going to be presented if indeed you continue in the faith, pressing on. So, beloved, this is a real warning. He tells the Colossians and he tells us here in Denton, take every measure to persevere in the faith. Keep going forward. Now Paul says if you continue in the faith, I think we all understand what continue is. day after day, running with Him. Sometimes it feels like I'm barely walking. Sometimes it feels like you're just still, but you've got to keep on. And he says, continuing in the faith. What a statement that Paul makes. If you continue in the faith, not just in anything, right? Paul is very exclusive. In the faith, well, that's what they've been brought into, the faith. Is he talking about just our personal faith? Brian, Michelle, Nathan, you just got to continue in your faith. That's not the language here. That's always true. Day by day, breath by breath, in faith. Yes, that's true. That's always a truth. Believing God, trusting in Christ, looking to Him, faith. But that's not the emphasis of Paul here. Paul is saying if you continue in the faith. See the difference? That's something that's outside of you. What is it? It is the body of truth that pertains to Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. All that He is, all that He said, all that He's promised. The faith. Now right here is where a lot of the watershed of where things go wrong in our society. You talk about people who don't know the faith, blows my mind to hear what certain people would say under the veil or under the quote covering of Christianity. How in the world do they come up with these ideas? Do they ever read this? If you continue in the faith. I'm staggered at times just to quote a scripture with other people. Just maybe in work-related things or being with us. It's quote a scripture and people just turn like, wow. The Word of God, all of it's given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable. Sometimes it's out of the book of Job like Mac went through today. Sometimes out of Ezekiel. Sometimes it's out of Genesis. Sometimes in the Gospel of John. It is all the Word of God in. And what Paul is saying is if you continue in the faith, the truth, what God has given us in Christ, knowing Him, the body of gospel reality, truth, never changing, forever the same. Doesn't have to have a new version. You see these billboards broadcasting different churches and things that they have, special meetings or fancy stuff. What about the faith? What about the truth? The truth of Jesus Christ. What is that? What is the faith? It's everything pertaining to Jesus Christ. It means seeking Him. If I'm going to continue in the faith, the truth as it is in Jesus, as Ephesians says, Paul wrote that letter, then it means it's in Christ. That everything about continuing in the faith is about Christ-centered. I'm centered on Jesus Christ. He is my King, my Lord, my Savior. His commands rule. I know Him. He speaks to me. His Word speaks to me. I walk with Him. I make decisions submitted to Him. I follow His teachings. I learn His commands. I see His promises. I pray and trust His promises that He will never leave me nor forsake me. That He will triumph. That He has triumphed. He will be triumphant in our day. On and on and on. Living in the faith. Go on extensively from different letters. Yes, a part of living in the faith of Jesus Christ is how to live your life in holiness. You talk about Jesus constantly said to live a certain way. How to walk with His people. Church is not an option. It's not value added, if you will. The centrality of the New Testament church and being knit together and being taught, being encouraged, strengthening one another, praying for one another, serving one another, is fundamental to Jesus Christ and His people. We are here because we love Christ. And to be with each other is we love His people. We love His truth. We love His means of grace. So Paul is saying to the Colossian Christians, and he's saying to every Christian in every age, you must continue in the faith. All that pertains to Jesus Christ. All that He is, all that He teaches. So when you're reading through the New Testament letters, and particularly the Gospels, you're always getting your, would you say this, marching orders? You're getting your life defined by the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Husbands, Jesus Christ tells you exclusively and clearly how to love a wife. You're going to come into the domain of marriage, men? Then you must study what Jesus Christ said and what He did. Ephesians 5, where Paul grounds us in that, goes back to Jesus Christ. If you're going to think about what you live for, what you spend your money for, you have to study Jesus Christ. All that you're continuing is based upon Him. Let me say again, it is the life of lives to live in Christ. You talk about fullness of joy, fullness of grace and help, and day by day with us, leading us, carrying us, speaking to us. I could stop right now and we could turn the tape off. We could just go around the room. Tell me about it. Speak about it. Speak about it, brother. Speak about it, sister. Have you woken up in the middle of the night or early in the morning and He is with you? You know it. You have communion with Him. Continuing in the faith. We gather here in the faith because we're in Christ. David Garland said it this way, it means that you're being ever planted more deeply in the faith. Deeper, deeper, deeper in Him. You're thinking, okay, Philip, I get it. I think I get it. If we continue in the faith. But Paul, how can the Colossians and how can you and I continue in the faith? I've been talking about certain truths and they're in the Scriptures, living in Jesus Christ. But Paul states it in two powerful ways here in the text. If you continue in the faith, then he'll tell us. He gives us, if you want to say this, the positive admonition and the negative caution. A positive and a negative. Let's go back to the text. Verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. It is stable and steadfast, right, in the ESV? Any other word? Anybody have NASB or with any other words there? King James says grounded and settled. I'm just curious, any other words that it uses? Established. Okay, thank you. Paul is saying boldly, stay anchored. That's what he's saying. Stay anchored in Christ. Continuing in the faith means to be grounded and settled in the faith, in Christ, knowing Him. You only have one Master and one Lord. So if a man or somebody speaks something else to you and it doesn't reconcile clearly with Jesus Christ, then we don't go with that. That's what he's telling the Colossians. Stay grounded and settled. Literally, the word grounded in the Greek word means foundation or foundational. Stay foundation. Stay anchored. Stay planted. Unmovable. I thought you said, Philip, we're moving. We are moving. We are advancing. But along the way, we're grounded in the truths of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. I'm getting older. That's pretty obvious, right? The more and more I realize I'm closer than the day I first believed. But I have no time to waste on being very clear on what I'm about and to stay grounded. It's not just for young men. It's not for young women. It's for every Christian in this room. You must continue anchored, foundational things. Have to anchor your life. You have to be settled or steadfast in that. These are metaphors, really. The phrases, the terms Paul's using talk about a building. I haven't called Brian this week, thought about it. And I thought to myself, if I called Brian and said, have you ever had some of your guys blow it on a foundation, on these houses and things he's built? I don't have to ask him. I suspect he's going to smile or nod his head. You get the foundation messed up and you're going to mess a building up in a hurry or a bridge or anything. Paul's talking about the absolute permanence or anchoring of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ being what you're founded on as you're advancing along in the faith. Like a great building. You got a great foundation, you have great stability. You got a weak foundation, you got no stability. You get moved all over the place. Foundations are actually fascinating to watch, though they are incredibly boring. Right? They call in the building industries, they say, I'd like to finally get that thing out of the ground. Because there's dirt and stuff everywhere. Utilities going in underground, and then they start pouring piers or foundations. And you know, nobody really drives there and stands outside watching a magnificent building and watching them do the foundation. But I tell you what, it's the key. It's the key. We've had projects I've been involved with through the years that are in places where you're thinking, I'm not sure how that thing's going to get built. And the structural guys work through all these calculations and all, and they come up with foundational solutions. Well, Jesus Christ is the foundation. He is the anchor. And that's what Paul is getting at. Stay grounded in Him. Just this past week in my office, the head of our structural engineering division was here in the Fort Worth office. He came by and he saw me. We were visiting. We were sharing. And then somewhere in the flow of conversation, I said, I'm going to be preaching out of Colossians 1:23 about being grounded and settled. He smiled real big. I said, like a structural slab or a foundation. This guy's a PE. This is what he does. This is what his staff does. He said, I'll tell you what, Philip, you get the foundation messed up, you're in trouble. I said, that's what Paul is saying. Be grounded. Be anchored. You have to be anchored on the right things. Young people, the world's telling you all kinds of silly, stupid stuff to build on. Go back to Matthew 7. Let's see what our great Savior and King told us. Same language, Matthew 7, the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's worth turning back there. We're talking about what you build on. What are you building on? Matthew chapter 7, pick it up in verse 24. This is Jesus at the end of all of this magnificent, tremendous teaching. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. If you continue in the faith, what Jesus has declared, what Jesus has spoken, all that He's given, He says, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew, and it beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You see, that's the same kind of language. It was anchored on something that's not going to move. Jesus Christ doesn't move, beloved ones. Jesus Christ doesn't trendy. He's not up and down and has to reinvent himself and recreate things. He is forever the same. He changes not. His truths are beyond our comprehension in the ultimate sense, but His truths are our meat and drink. It's what we live by. He's anchored. He is our anchor. He is our rock. He is our foundation. And you are to be founded upon Him, grounded in Him, settled, as though you're not going to move. What will that do for you, this thing of being grounded and settled? Same thing He did for the Colossians. It'll protect you. It'll make you grow and stay strong and firm. Troubles will come. Lies will come. Challenges, difficulties, heartaches will come. And the rock of Jesus Christ will not change. You'll be anchored. How can a man like Job go through all that he went through and not break? Matt gave an overview today of Job in the Old Testament. Because he knew his Redeemer lived. He knew God was. Beloved, you have to stay grounded in the truth. So therefore, you can stand firm against foolish and erroneous teaching. Strange winds of doctrine. Radio guys who have a little bit of truth and mixed in dangerous things. Christian rock singers who have maybe a little bit of truth and have all kinds of worldliness mixed in. And I'm not going to be here to try to sort through your standards. Just be careful. This is not a day of sound truth. Stay with the Scriptures. Stay in the truth. Stay grounded. Stay away from dangerous books. Stay away from people that don't walk in the truth. Love other men. Love all men. But love the truth and be anchored in it. Be careful. Be watchful. There are foolish and erroneous teaching all around us. All around us. Another way that you stay grounded is that you stay in Christ, you stay in His Word, and it'll protect you from worldly folly and worldly temptations. You have to learn the truths of walking in this path of caution and carefulness. The Christian life, again, is serious, it's joyful, but it's full of reality of battling. You must battle. So you have to stay strong on the foundation of Christ to avoid worldly things. Don't be drawn away by foolish teaching, worldly people, worldly things. You also must stay grounded in Christ and His truth so by staying connected to His church, and I've already emphasized that, His church, His people, His means of grace, to be with each other, to pray with each other, to break bread with each other, to sing with each other, to go from house to house and minister and encourage each other. You ladies, the way you minister, the men, the way they minister, strengthening one another's hands in God. This is Christian living. This is continuing in the faith. And it is glorious, right? It's the life to live. But you have to stay anchored. Nailed down to the strong ground, anchored. Those of you who don't know Mark LaCour, I'm going to do something that Mark would like to do at this point. A little bit of help of an illustration, I think I'll get the point across. I don't know if you've ever used these. I wish I had those stakes that the Walquist family brought to my house last summer for the volleyball net. Now that's some stakes. You seen these before? This is a tent stake or a different kind of stake that you can use in your yard to anchor things, ropes, something that the wind might blow, etc. They're pretty good. They're pretty good. They can work for certain loads. But on a certain time of day or the moisture level on the soil or lack thereof, I can just pop them out barehanded. I thought these were supposed to stay. No, they don't always just stay in. There's a lot of Christian teaching today that's not even this long. Silly little popsicle type sticks. It's not grounded. It doesn't anchor you. This does a little bit. Hang on. Brother Mark would say, we got this thing years ago. You ever used one of these? This thing is rusty and it's a mess. I don't know if Eric and Shane, if y'all have used one yet. You need something anchored, get one of these. There's not a man on the earth that can pull this out of the ground. This thing drills in the ground, and so it has friction against the soil, and you can't pull the earth up with it the way it's designed. We're talking about gospel reality right here. This proves to me that there are deeper foundations, there's deeper ways to anchor your life. This isn't the only solution. Walmart has these pretty cheap. You're not going to get these at Walmart. There's a lot of Walmart Christianity going on out there. But you've got to find the real stuff, beloved. Be anchored. It's real. You're not pulling this out of the ground. You get anchored on Jesus Christ, you won't waffle on things. You won't just listen to silly stuff. You won't date people you're not supposed to date. You won't go with men at work you don't need to be with. You won't travel and do certain things. You won't buy their books. You won't defraud the gospel truth because of some other new idea. You got it? That's what Paul is saying to these Christians. He's saying it to us. Stay grounded, stay founded, stay anchored. Glory to Christ that He is our anchor. John Daly put it this way many, many years ago, a few centuries back. Listen to how he put it. Your faith, grounded on the eternal rock, Jesus Christ our Lord, seated and placed upon this unmovable basis, meaning Christ, it abides firm and it cannot be shaken. Oh yeah, life will bring events, hard events. But the torrents and the winds assault it in vain, meaning the rock of Christ. The tempests and floods may beat upon it, but they cannot overthrow it. That's the rock of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the true one. He is the just one. He's the one we follow. He is the one that we build our life upon, as He told us to do, His teachings. That's the positive. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, anchored, established, but there's a negative. Let me move on. Go back to the verse. Verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard. The negative warning is, you're not anchored. You start moving around. When you're firmly grounded in the faith, you will not be so prone to move around. I'm talking about in life. Certainly in what it means in the Christian life. I think the ESV says not shifting. Is that how it says it? Shifting. Structural engineers and Brian, when he builds houses, they don't like foundations that shift. That's trouble. That's trouble. There's houses all over this metroplex that lousy foundations have been put in. Why don't you study the soil conditions, gentlemen, and get a foundation that works? We must study the Scriptures and use the foundational truths of Christ and walk in them. Otherwise, you start getting moved around. I don't know about this thing of the Trinity. I don't know if I can really believe the Trinity. What would the Scriptures ultimately say? Well, I'm not sure if Jesus actually came in a physical body. What do the Scriptures say? He was born. He took on human flesh. I'm not sure that Jesus Christ really was raised from the dead. What do the Scriptures say? I'm not sure that those miracles were really miracles. Water went to wine. Right? Lazarus came out of the grave. What do the Scriptures say? You see, you're going to face all kinds of opposition. I don't know if I need to keep my life on this path. What do the Scriptures say? If you're not firmly grounded, beloved, young men, young women, brothers, sisters, all of you, if you're not well grounded, you will shift. I love to be around men who are anchored. I just do. Mac has spent his life, since he was in his early 20s, pursuing other men in their own way that are anchored. His secret is available to all. Seek him out. Be in his church, meaning Christ's church. Be with his people. Read books that will edify you. Learn the Scriptures. Be grounded. Be settled in these truths, and you will not drift. Get the right anchor. Believe what God has said. God says it, it's true. He says it, that settles it. There are constant forces that blow against us. All of us. I don't have to fill in the blank. You know, there's constant forces. Right? You've got forces today, this week. You've got things that are testing you. What are you anchored on? What are you believing? A.W. Tozer wrote a wonderful short chapter years ago called The Wind in Our Face. The Christian life is in the wind. Meaning there's going to be opposition. But there's a greater wind that we're on. Christ, He'll take us all the way. He will present us. We will continue by His grace in us. Otherwise, you just shift. You read about things. You hear about people that you care for and you love. You see family members. You know, they spend a year and a half, they get all active in some sort of a whiz-bang church, things are happening, and you see them maybe a few years later, they're not even involved in a church. They hadn't read their Bible in 2 years. Or there's some star, some music star, and they get after, they think the gospel is about following a music star. Well, that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is about following Jesus Christ. Where is Jesus Christ? He's in His church. He's with His people. He's in us. He inhabits us by His Spirit. You'll see people who chase other strange books, strange ideas. I love when Brother Lee said a long time ago, not that long ago, I'm sorry, but just the fact that I'd rather hear a man speak about a bloody cross than a bloody moon, chasing signs of the end times, and I've got to figure things out. I got to have all this mystical codes line up. Read the Scriptures. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming in bodily form. He left. He said He's coming back. He's coming back for His people. Continue in Him. Silly ideas that are out there. They're dangerous. They're dangerous for you and me, my children, my grandchildren. They're dangerous. They're real. You can drift. You can drift. You can be shifted away. I can be shifted away. We have to go back, stay on the ground, the solid ground. So much of John Bunyan's wonderful book, The Pilgrim's Progress, is about this thing of continuing. Bunyan put it in a way that you've got to stay on that path. Don't be chasing other things. We give each other liberty in the faith. We're not trying to manage each other in terms of in the wrong way, but don't be careless. The reality is, in this room today, probably in another year or two or three years, some people are just going to drift away. They already have. We've been meeting 15 and a half years. Mac and I and Jeff and others can tell you of people who have drifted, and it hurt them. We didn't hurt them. We didn't want them to get hurt, but they've gone off into things. They got hurt. They believe lies. Their marriages are in trouble or whatever's going on. It's real. We ourselves don't hold the keys. Christ does. I want to be where He is. I want to be with His people. You hear this? You'll get sifted. If you're young in the faith, you anchor down on Christ and His people. Sit under sound teaching. Stay in the Scriptures. Be with God's people. Learn to pray. Learn to seek the Lord. I said to Tyler yesterday, we use this phrase, that guy knows God. I love to be around men who know the living God and living Savior. I love it. It edifies me. It builds me up. And you, in your own way, can be that to others. It's unbelievable in my vocational work through the years who and how God has sent men to me. Unbelievable. Things that they were struggling with, agonizing through. And they needed somebody that they felt was anchored to talk to. That you would continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Well, there it is. Continuing in the faith, anchored, and that you'd be not moved, sifted, shifted, moved in any way from the hope of the gospel. That ties us back to that you continue in the faith. It's the gospel. The hope of the gospel. Are you having today a hope in the gospel? Did you get up today? If you came today to want to know the Lord, worship Him, delight in Him, sing to Him, be with His people, then you're continuing in the hope of the gospel. That's one aspect of it. But in the bigger kind of macro scale, if I'm going to continue in the hope of the gospel, it means that I'm going to continue in the expectation of the glorious things which Jesus Christ has promised. If I'm going to continue in hoping in the gospel, I'm hoping in all that Jesus Christ said He will do for me and for you. It's not a futile hope, that's for sure. It's a certain hope. The expectation of the glorious things Christ does today and forever. The gospel truths are right now something that we're laying hold of, right? We're not talking about fire insurance. We're not talking about, well, one day I'll get to live this. We're talking about here and all the way there. It is the promises of Jesus Christ, hoping in all that He's declared to His people. There's hope of daily grace, right? Daily grace, tender mercies, the care of God. He's with us. There's hope for daily strength when you're weak, when you're worn out, you're discouraged, you have a tendency just to be overwhelmed. Anybody been overwhelmed this week? Boy, that happens, doesn't it? But there's hope in the gospel because He says, I will strengthen thee. And there's hope in the gospel for daily sanctification. Lord, purify me there. Cut that off. Deliver me. Come, Lord. Rescue me. Show me a way that's plain and clear. Strengthen your servant. Learn from the prayers of David. Learn from the writings of Paul and these other men in the New Testament. Learn how they struggled and they pressed on. Hope in the gospel. That's the day-to-day hope of the gospel. Day-to-day. Tomorrow. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, When you're by yourself, when you're with the brethren, hoping in the gospel, continuing, fixing your eyes, and then the ultimate sense of that is, where is your final destination? Hoping in the gospel does involve hoping in the heavenly bliss that awaits you. It's not morbid at all to think about and long for the heavenly bliss that's coming. The world acts as though death doesn't occur. The Christian lives as though death is just a breath away. It is a breath away. In a matter of just minutes, Max sends me text messages yesterday that Conrad's wife, Grace, had been gone on to glory and that Brother Mike Morrow was now in surgery. And it very delicate whether he would live through it. But the heavenly bliss that awaits them and awaits us is the same. It's real. It's forever in the heavens with Christ. So there's a certain hope in the gospel reality of what awaits us. Don't be afraid to share with your family members or your children that God's going to take me. And that you long for that day. I was helping at a funeral, proceeding over a funeral a year and a half ago, and some of my grown children were there. And I was speaking out of my heart in a cemetery, and I know headstones that are in that cemetery. I could say when I was a boy, I knew that man. That's real. That guy over there, I knew him. There's a headstone. And I was speaking to a few family members and a couple of my grown kids, and I began to speak just briefly of my own passing life, that soon they're going to put me in the ground if God lets me go to glory before they do. And you know what? It kind of shook a couple of my grown children for their dad to talk that way. But they need to hear it again. Because our hope in the gospel includes the ultimate bliss, the ultimate place, inheritance that we have with Jesus Christ. Total deliverance from sin. Hallelujah. Total deliverance from sorrow. Total deliverance from struggles. Some of you heard me say that I had a man walk in my office 2 weeks tomorrow. 2 weeks ago today, he lost his wife. He walked in my office on Monday. He saw a few people and he came to my office and I looked up and he said, "She's gone." Did he just say what I think he said? She'd been battling sickness, horrible things. I stood up slowly and his eyes were full of joy. He was just full of joy. I said, "Skip, say that again. She's gone." I let her go. God took her. It's real. Children, it's real. It's very real. But we hope in a living Savior that is there in the heavens at the right hand of the Almighty, and we're going to Him. That's where we're going. In the last moments of her life, when Hudson Taylor and his wife Maria were together, she's in her 30s. They've been married 12 years. They've had numerous children. She's already buried some children in China, and she's very sick and she's dying. And Hudson knows it, and they're talking. And I've referenced this book because it was such a rich read for me several months ago. But Maria Taylor, looking at her husband, knowing she's leaving several children behind, she still hoped in the gospel of Jesus Christ. She says to her husband Hudson, "You know, darling," this is a direct quote, "that for 10 years past there has not been a cloud between me and my Savior." For 10 years. Hudson put in parentheses, "I know this was true." She had such communion with Jesus Christ. She said, "For 10 years past, there's not been a cloud between me and my Savior." What else did she say? "I'm leaving behind a young husband. I'm leaving behind little children." She says, "I cannot be sorry to go to Him." She knew it was time. She had a hope in Jesus Christ. She continued. How about the Apostle Paul, the very one that spoke these truths to the Colossians and to the Galatians and to the Thessalonians? These very kinds of... What did Paul... Paul, what's it like at the end of your days? 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll read it to you. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." This is the Apostle. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." There it is. He continued in the faith. "Henceforth, or therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Hang on here. How about Maria Taylor? How about Hudson Taylor years later? How about Mike Morrow, what he's facing, or his wife? What about Conrad giving up grace? And not only to me only, but unto all them also that love His, meaning Christ, appearing. Let me close with just a few questions. Brethren, are you anchored in Jesus Christ? What are you anchored in? Are you staying grounded and settled? Are you putting pillars in your life and anchoring your life on the right thing? Christ. May He, by His great mercy in our lives, cause us all to say, like the hymn writer, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." Amen. Let me pray. Father, Your Word comes today to us, the Word of the living God, the Word of a living Savior, admonishing us, warning us to take heed to this admonition from the Apostle Paul. Lord, thank You that You gave it to him. It's Your Word, it's Your truth, that for us, indeed, we must continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Lord, it's so clear in Your Word. Lord Jesus, You spoke it. He that heareth My words and doeth them is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. So Lord, today we say we need more of the reality of this. We need to be anchored deeply. We need to go more deeply in Your truth, loving You, serving You with joy, being steadfast. Oh God, I pray You'd speak to Your people. I pray You'd draw hearts today that don't know You to realize all they are on is sinking sand. Have mercy. Oh God, You are the one great one. Thank You for Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.
right, brethren, just a few closing announcements. And I want to start with an announcement from Ron Walquist. Brother, do you want to stand and share? Amen. What a thing when the Lord knits a man and a woman together in marriage. So all that can go. All right, I'll be as brief as I can with the announcements. This week we have our two prayer meetings. We have the meeting in Denton in the Tomlinson home at 7 o'clock and the meeting out west in the Bird's home at 7 o'clock. On the back table, you would see a stack of these books right here, I think. For those that were at the fellowship conference, you saw this book announced. This is the Conrad Murrell biography, Grace and Truth, by dear Brother Mac Tomlinson. If you want a copy, they're $24. They're on the back table, accessible for you today. For the ladies' study, this past Thursday night, they wrapped up their study through the book of Philippians using the Sinclair Ferguson book. They are moving in to this study, which starts in a little under 2 weeks, on Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney. These books were passed out at the last ladies' study, but if you were not there and you do not have a book, see Amber. She's got several in a box this morning. In addition, I have acquired a study guide that is going to go along with the book. We have a total of 25. So all the ladies that are going to participate in the ladies' study will need to pick up this study guide today. This book, use your husband's if he'll let you. If you don't have a husband yet, come get a book. This book, all of you need. End of that announcement. Go ahead and put a calendar item towards the end of the month in April. The 29th will be the youth gathering, which I believe will meet in the Elsie's home. So April 29th, youth gathering. That'll be 6:30 that night. And final announcement, the elders request your prayer. The four of us men will head out this afternoon, evening, and we will have approximately 24, 26 hours together. And we will be praying. We will be discussing what God has for Providence Chapel. So pray for us. This is a very key time. It's a time that we don't get to have as often as we'd like to have it. So pray that God would maximize it and optimize it and meet with us in every way. This is one of those things that is for our good, yes, but if it's for our good, it's for your good. So join us and pray. All right. I will pray now, and I'll go ahead and pray for the mealtime as well. When I am done praying, let's get ready for our mealtime and fellowship. All are invited to stay and eat. Yes, even if you didn't bring anything, stay and eat and enjoy fellowship with the rest of the body here. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, you are so gracious to feed us such a spiritual feast from the book of Job, from the book of Colossians. Oh, Father, you're worthy of all of our praise. We bless your name for what you have done, for how you have helped us, for the things that you've taught us, for how you've kept us in the faith thus far. And by your grace, you will carry us home. Lord, cause us to be more and more rooted in the hope of the gospel. Thank you for these brothers and sisters that have come. Thank you for every visitor that's here with us today. Bless, Father, now our mealtime, the fellowship, the discussions. May we strengthen one another's hand in God. May we inspire one another to love in good works. We ask this all in Jesus' name, amen.